Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Transfiguration Sunday, Year B. We encounter the mystery with Elisha as Elijah is taken up in 2 Kings, with Paul telling the Corinthians about Christ's unveiled glory, and with Peter, who is not quite dumbstruck in Mark's account of the Transfiguration itself. We're hoping to make your sermon shine with multiple intelligence illustrations and special effects. So let's go.
We've established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary. They use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Transfiguration Sunday, Year B, is 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. This is the end of Elijah's ministry, where he is taken up into heaven, and the mantle is literally passed to Elisha, or Elisha, depending on how you prefer to say that. If you like to put a little space between the two names, then you can say Elisha.
Otherwise, it gets a little confusing.
Otherwise, be sure and enunciate clearly. Anyway, this is in fact the place where the term the mantle is passed comes from.
Exactly.
And so we have Elijah traveling around the Transjordan area for a little bit, running back and forth, and Elisha is following along with him, and they keep running into the company of the prophets, who keep saying to Elisha, "Well, you know your master's going to be taken away, right?" He's like, "Yes, shut up." And that happens three times.
Goofballs.
Two or three times, anyway. And then Elijah is taken up by the chariot of fire, which has nothing to do with the Olympics, as far as I know.
Da, 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 da.
And then Elisha gets the mantle and starts off and takes up the work of his master. So we have five intelligences we're going to take a look at here today. We have eye smart, illustration, and special effect. We have music smart, both. We have nature smart, both. People smart, both. And a self smart illustration, which could be both.
Mm-hmm.
So David's going to start us off with eye smart. David, what have you got? Well, focusing in on the whirlwind that takes Elijah up into heaven, and we've got, this is connected with Nature Smart too, and we've got some other stuff that's connected with that, but we've got a picture of a tornado, which would be a whirlwind, big, scary, destructive sort of thing, right? And when we get down to Nature Smart, am I doing Nature Smart? I think I am, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a number of similar sorts of things going on there. And so you can, if you go looking for tornadoes, whirlwinds, dust devils, things like that, you're going to have ample opportunity to spend the afternoon watching videos of things being lifted into the sky.
Yeah.
Some of it good, some of it not so good.
Some of it terrifyingly amazing.
Indeed. So we could just sort of say, hey, we're doing Nature Smart here too, because we've got that.
Yep.
We'll just do that. Nature Smart, we've got some other links to pictures and videos, and you can help yourself to that. Then in verses 8 and 14, we have first Elijah and then Elisha striking the water of the Jordan River with a mantle, with the cloak. and the waters part. And so for special effect, fill a shallow pan with water, roll up a decent-sized hunk of cloth, a towel would probably work, roll it up and slap it into the water and watch the water part. Mm-hmm. For you, it will probably come back together or spill on the carpet, but for them, of course, it parted long enough that they could walk across the river.
Either that or they were really fast.
Yeah. And hit it really hard. Or it was dry season. I don't know which. Yeah. But anyway, we have that. And then we also have a video from the slow-mo guys, who are a couple of British fellows who do all manner of slow-motion photography. And this particular video is of a car driving through a puddle. A large puddle and splitting the water. It's a lot of fun. Then we have one other link to a video of some water splashing. So you could show those and get the sense of the waters parting.
For Music Smart, we're looking at the entire passage because the entire thing seems to play out like a song or like musical theater even. Mm. So you've got the characters of Elijah and Elisha, and you've got the company of prophets. Three times, Elisha says to Elijah, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." That seems to be kind of a hook or a chorus. And then the separation of the two of them that happens at the end is like the coda, which in musical terms takes the theme, takes the music, takes the notes, the progression, whatever, of a particular passage in music and adapts it for an ending. I was reading some stuff about codas, and apparently some composers, the coda becomes almost a second piece. They take Handel apparently did this a lot. You take the refrain, the melody, what you're working on in the work itself, and then tack it on to the end. And then sometimes they're like preachers. They can't find an end ramp to get out of it. So they just kind of keep going, and then it becomes its own thing in some ways. A coda is supposed to be a little short thing that kind of gets you out of it.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, like that. So there you have that musical element of the passage itself, of the three declarations, the chorus, the hook, and then the coda as the separation. And then the two declarations by the company of prophets, which would be an excellent name for a rock band, as well as Elisha's response to them, shut up, serves as kind of a counterpoint to the melody. Mm. And then Elisha's question as he recrosses the Jordan is, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Is kind of a slight flavor of his previous statement, as the Lord lives and as you live.
So maybe that piece done in a different key.
Right. Maybe a minor key or maybe some more dramatic underchords. The references to the Lord and Elijah, but it's now a new song that he's singing and it's defining his ministry. So it could even be, the coda happens and then you have that melody sort of wrapping into a new song that goes off into the future for Elisha's ministry.
Cool.
Elisha. Okay. Anyway, so that's the illustration of Music Smart for this particular passage. Now we have some special effects. The three declarations, the chorus, the hook, as those are read, find a melody to play on a flute or a trumpet or an organ, maybe some kind of a fanfare when Elisha says, as you live and as God lives, I will never depart from you. So find something to accent that, some instrument or
maybe
or
something from a hymn or a worship chorus or something.
Yeah, that would be good too. Mm-hmm. And then the declarations by the company of prophets, this is counter to Elisha's statements and could be played like an oompa on a tuba or a trombone or maybe even do a kazoo. And then the coda, you still have that similar thing, but it goes on into something different. So just play with that. It could really be a lot of fun.
Okay, we already did Nature Smart.
Okay, yes, we did. all right, so I'll go on into people.
Yeah.
Okay. Elisha sticks to Elijah like glue, and we're kind of wondering, is this a similar action of an eight-month-old baby who's going through separation anxiety? If you've ever had an eight-month-old, think back to the times when your own kids, or if you don't have kids, the people that you know who do have children, when you go to reach for the baby, they go, and they kind of hug mom or dad. It's like, nope.
Yeah, or you put the baby down and you leave the room and ballyhoo ensues.
Yeah, what? That too.
Where'd you go?
Yeah. You can always usually tell if a child is going through separation anxiety because mom and dad look really haggard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that can go till like a year and a half.
even into their 20s. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Now we're seeing separation anxiety from parents.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Exactly. Yeah. The helicopter parents who can't let go of their kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let them go.
Let them go. They'll be fine.
They will. So for a special effect, break into groups and discuss the pros and the cons of a persistent attachment.
Mm. For self-smart, have you ever been in a situation to anticipate someone's certain but unwelcome departure? Maybe it was on a journey, maybe someone going off to war, perhaps going to death. But the one going is ready, willing, and determined to go. That seems to be what's going on between Elijah and Elisha. So whether you do this as the preacher or invite your flock to reflect on it, describe the emotions that go along with that scenario. And maybe just naming it will bring those emotions up for folks. So be gentle in mm-hmm. doing that. It's an opportunity for you to maybe share a story that you have, or if you know someone with a story that would be pertinent, you can invite them to share that.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind Elisha's question as he goes back across the Jordan, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go on. The epistle lesson for Year B, Transfiguration, is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3-6. It's pretty obvious why the lectionary committee selected these particular verses, because it's all about light being unveiled and shining and bright and which really fits well with the story that will be coming up in Mark.
It does.
Paul says, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. But he then goes on to encourage the Corinthians to let the light shine forth to reflect the glory of God in Jesus Christ. So we have four specific intelligences we're going to look at, with kind of a toss-away reference to a fifth one. We're going to look at illustrations and special effects in eye smart, body smart, and nature smart. And we have illustrations for math and music smart. We have some other interesting stuff for some of the other intelligences. So if you would like to see what that is, go to our website, www.morethanhearing.org, and download the worksheets that are in the show notes. We have the worksheets for all of our podcasts. So if you're ever interested to see what we didn't do, go there and take a look. All right. So we're going to start with iSmart.
Okay. Furniture that's been draped with cloths for the painters because the room's closed off. A painting or a sculpture before it's presented. The stupid Verizon commercial with the thing in the where the guy's talking in the public square. A bride wears it over her face.
What's a veil?
Yes.
Ah!
There we go. Okay, so I don't know. We just had this list of things, and that as I was reading through it, I thought, it's like that game show. So things that are veiled for $1,000, Alex. Just a game show frame
you
of mind,
certainly
I guess.
Are.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, there are some ideas about some things that are veiled that you could use for illustrations. And for a special effect, if you have an icon, a religious icon, it's an image. And here in this passage, Jesus is referred to as the image of God. So,
icon to Theos.
There you go. So an icon, particularly of Jesus, would be appropriate.
Yes.
Here.
There are a lot of icons out there. I Googled the word icon religious and wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good heavens.
And quite amazing. So if you have one or can print one or
project one,
that would be cool. And then you might want to talk about why they look the way they do, if people aren't familiar with that.
Iconography?
The iconography, that they're intentionally distorted in their perspective and such, so that it's not seen to be
a
graven image, right? But it is just something to...
A representation.
To encourage you to meditate upon. Verse 6 talks about the light shining out of darkness and the light that has been shown in our hearts. And so add as much light to your space as you can, candles or flashlights or spotlights or whatever you have, and just bring in a lot of light.
For MathSmart, I was reading through the Greek text trying to get some inspiration. And in verse 4, the word for mind is noema. And Paul is speaking of the fact that the minds of the unbelievers have been clouded. But this word noema seems to be, it suggests that it's the result of thinking or reasoning. And so Paul seems to be suggesting in using this particular word and in what he's trying to get at in this particular verse is that the minds of the unbelievers don't have enough information. Essentially, the product or the sum or the quotient is lacking completeness because it doesn't have all the elements for the function. Paul seems to be suggesting that they're not all the elements are in place for people to be able to compute properly.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So if you've ever worked with coding or computer programming, if you goof in one spot or if you don't have all the elements in, it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. There was an app or a game that taught basic coding where you have this little person, he has to get up, walk across the room, and you have the commands available to make that happen, and you have a limited amount. So if you put them in wrong, or if you get them out of place, the guy just stands up and sits back down.
Yeah.
Or he just doesn't move.
Or walks into the corner.
Right. And stands there. So Paul seems to be, so your math people can be involved in this with the idea that Paul is suggesting that the people who don't believe the gospel or who don't understand the gospel don't because they don't have all the elements in place yet.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
There's a whole field of computer modeling that people use for scientific inquiry, mm-hmm. where they will create models of scenarios and see what matches up with the evidence that comes back from actual experiments and such. Hmm. And just thought of that as you were talking about
it. Interesting.
And it would be interesting to go look that up with some more stuff because
you could actually use that as a special effect.
Yeah.
So if you have the capacity to project stuff in your sanctuary, you could link up to a computer or an iPad or something and actually run that program.
You could maybe. Some of them are very complicated. It depends on. I could talk about it for a long time, but
don't. We don't have time.
The intricacy of your model gives you different kinds of results, and so sometimes you have to leave out stuff if you want it to run fast, or if you just want a basic idea, right? But it doesn't give you an accurate representation,
right? Right. So maybe that's what Paul is suggesting too.
That, right.
Yeah, they're in a rush to get this word out. Maybe we're not taking time.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. For body smart, the word here in the Greek is tuflo'o, which seems to be keeping them from seeing. And so thinking about different ways that we are prevented from seeing, perhaps cataracts or some other physical impairment in the eye, macular degeneration, glaucoma,
presbyopia,
one of our favorites. And sometimes it is just a natural progression from age, and sometimes it can be trauma or chemical imbalances or neurological disorders that produce poor seeing. So think about all of those sorts of things and lay those out. Since you're talking about the eye and vision, these are also connected with EyeSmart, of course. Then there's also a thing called face blindness, which is...
I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's generally as a result of trauma or a stroke or something. And it's when a person is not able to recognize faces. Hmm. It's just like it sounds. So they even familiar people, they don't recognize them. Or sometimes they can't, it gets so extreme that they can't discern a face from an object.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's a problem.
It's a big problem. And
so then they would have to rely on hearing.
Right. Yeah, they have to rely on other methods and strategies to identify people. Mm-hmm. So that one might be interesting. How can we then help people develop other strategies to recognize Christ if they are blind as the world sees it? Mm-hmm. For special effect, illustration and special effect here, driving instructors often use goggles with distorted lenses so that students can see what it's like to drive drunk. Mm-hmm. It distorts your perception.
I had an opportunity to put those on one time. It is the weirdest experience.
Yeah.
It's like you haven't entirely opened your eyes up all the way, and they are open.
Yeah.
It's weird.
So if you have access to a pair of those, then that might be interesting and let people try them on or if you have a projection system and could stick a camera in there or something. That would be interesting. And if you don't have access to those, then get some old eyeglasses and smear some petroleum jelly around the edges.
Yeah, that'll do it too.
It gives you a similar sort of idea. Anyway, the idea is to give people an opportunity to see poorly.
Very quickly, for a music illustration, Richard Strauss's The Dance of the Seven Veils. Go give a listen to that.
Yeah.
In Nature Smart, we're still looking at this idea of obscured vision and some things in nature that can obscure your vision are windstorms, smoke from wildfires, whiteout conditions in the blizzard, heavy rain, fog. A solar or a lunar eclipse veils the glory of the sun for a while. And dark matter, it makes up about 27% of the universe and it shapes galaxies, but we don't have a clue what it is and never even noticed it until about 20 years ago. Normal matter is matter that we can see that only makes up about 4 to 5% of the universe. The rest is dark energy, and it's also mentioned in the link to the article that we have in our show notes. So you can go there and take a look and see what that's all about. For a special effect, this is maybe not practical and probably ill-advised, but when has that ever stopped us? But you could make a ninja smoke bomb, and we have a link to how you can do that. So have fun, and we don't take responsibility for any danger.
Be careful, and don't do it unless you're really going to do it.
Right, exactly. And try it at home first. Always try these things at home first. Yeah. Or if you want to go with something that's a little safer, has been established as safe, you can go rent a fog machine and make your own cloud.
That might be better. You could probably buy one, actually, for, like, I saw them online for $40.
Phew.
So, you know, party store or what have you.
Okay, let's go on.
The gospel lesson for Transfiguration Sunday, Year B, is Mark 9, verses 2 through 10. It's the story of the Transfiguration. How about that?
Surprise! It's kind of like baptism of the Lord. Gee, what will the gospel lesson be?
So Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a high mountain, and he is transfigured. His clothes become dazzling white, and his appearance changes. And Elijah and Moses show up and start talking with Jesus. And I always wonder how they knew that that's who it was. I mean, did Jesus introduce them or...
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Yeah, because they probably didn't have Bibles with illustrations in them so that they could open up to the Old Testament and say, oh, there's Moses, and oh, hey, there's Elijah.
Look, it's a guy with white hair and a long white beard. That must be Moses.
Yeah, like Grandpa on the plane. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Peter is overwhelmed and thinks they should
I'm going to be thinking about that for a while now.
Thinks that they should build some dwellings for them all. But then the cloud comes in and says, this is my son, the beloved. Listen. Then it was all over.
Pretty much like that.
Pretty much like that. Okay, we have quite a few things. You can take a look at the worksheet, as Molly mentioned before, at morethanhearing.org. But we're going to look at Math Smart, Music Smart, People Smart, and Self Smart, and we've got illustrations and special effects for all of them. So Molly, start us off with the math, would you?
Okay. Well, all of the Gospels, the synoptics that talk about this particular passage, I'll mention Peter babbling about building shelters for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And the website called Marginally Mark has this quote. It says, Peter wanting to build shelters is a type. It's a forerunner of the way we construct church comfort zones by wanting to pin God things down. Keep them as they are. Bring them under any little control we can manage. And so there's kind of a sense that Peter's just totally freaked out by what he's seeing. And so he's trying to compartmentalize or rationalize or make sense of what he's seeing. And he doesn't have multiple intelligence theory to help him. So in looking at this a little further, I came across another article talking about the nodes and connections in your brain. This is how we process information sometimes. So think of it this way. Each node in your brain has information, and the association that allows for connection allows for the meshing of. So you've got, boom, information. And then suddenly your brain just kind of goes into this spasm of activity where information is dropped. It's kind of like a pebble dropping into to water. It's a boom. And then the ripples outward. So your brain just automatically starts making connections because it has to make sense of stuff. So, for example, at node, you have apple. So an apple is dropped into your consciousness, and then you start connecting it. Well, fruit, red, sweet, words that start with A.
Laptop.
Yeah. So what, and for you who are listening to this, what automatic things connected when you heard the word apple or the image of an apple came to mind? Did you see an apple dropping into a pond like I did, since I already used that illustration? So for Peter, the node is important people from the past that he has somehow been able to figure out. And so the connected nodes is, oh, Exodus. Oh, our kings. Oh, God's power, worship, festivals, Sukkoth. Hey, shelters. So that's kind of the way he gets to that point where he says to Jesus, just blurting out, well, it's great you're here. Let me build you shelters. So that's maybe kind of the process that he went through to get to that place. A little bit more complex description of what Peter might have been experiencing is something called shared temporal context. And we have a link from that. It's a study that happened at Princeton University. It goes into a bit more detail. The node and the connection is something that's pretty basic. This has a little bit more that's involved in it. So there you have some of the idea of what might have been going through Peter's mind. So for a special effect, as an experiment, show your congregation several different objects and allow them to free associate things that are related to them. So for example, a hymnal. What do you think of? Singing, worship, praising God. Bread. Well, some people might be thinking lunch, or you might think Jesus' body, since you're sitting there in worship, communion, or a sandwich. A branch. Shade, shelter, trees, life, a pitcher of water, a nice drink, washing up, baptism. And does the setting where you see these things make a difference in what you associate? If you see a loaf of bread in worship, you're probably going to think communion. If you see a loaf of bread at home, you're probably going to think lunch.
Mm-hmm. For Music Smart, in verse 7, it has the voice saying, listen to him. And Igor Stravinsky said, to listen is an effort. And just to hear is no merit. A duck hears also. So if this is true of music, then how much more does it bear on Jesus' commands? It's one thing to admire the Messiah, but to obey him, to listen, to be changed, that's something else altogether. So for special effect, learning to listen for the bass, for example, in music, and we have a link to...
Well, it's instruction in learning how to listen for the bass line in music and how to listen for it's essentially for people who are learning the bass.
Ah, okay.
And how to play the bass in music. I was trying to find a link to an article I heard the last couple of months about creativity, mm-hmm. and that something that teachers, especially educators, are trying to do when having children listen to music is to listen for the bass line. Because if you can hear the bass line in music, you hear it all. Because a lot of times the bass line in music is kind of underneath everything. It kind of adds support. It's sort of the basement floor. So if you can hear the basement floor, you can kind of hear the rest of the house.
All right.
So for people smart, what made me think about what I came up with is a quote from Matt Skinner at Working Preacher. He said, Moses and Elijah's closeness to God wasn't something to be hoarded, that they hoarded. It energized them in their service to others, equipping them to know and pursue the Lord. So it got me to thinking about people in our lives who are really energetic in their service to God, who have a really strong connection to God. And do you know anybody like that? This could be a good special effect. Have your congregation break up and talk about the people that they know who are really super connected to God. And how has that example affected your own service? In another way, the appearance of Moses and Elijah with Jesus, it reveals who Jesus is. So as an illustration about that, think about the crush of people that you see around somebody, like a singer, an actor, a politician, a royal personage, and seeing who's surrounding that person, it kind of informs who that other person is.
It also guilt by association?
Exactly. It can be used in exactly the opposite way. Modern political advertising uses this negatively by smearing candidates with photos or videos of people in whose company they are found. Would you vote for this guy? Look who he hangs out with. Mm-hmm. So it kind of works both ways. And also for a special effect, you can ask your folk to consider this too. Moses and Elijah are connected to the disciples through Jesus. So when have you experienced connection to people through Jesus? And when have you experienced Jesus through a connection to other people?
Yeah, because they have to understand Jesus because of what they know of Moses and Elijah beforehand, right?
Right.
For self-smart, we have a quote from Jill Duffield from Looking into the Lectionary at the Presbyterian Outlook. She says, "Perhaps the greatest transformation that takes place on the mountain is not Jesus' transfiguration, but the disciples' understanding of the magnitude and majesty of their Savior. In seeing Jesus in a whole new light, there is hope that they will begin to see themselves and this mission in a whole new light too." For illustration here, all of this stuff gets tied up with iSmart because of the nature of the passage.
Right.
But we have a couple sort of iSmart, self-smart illustrations for you. So you need bright lights to put on makeup. And so we have a link to some
makeup mirrors,
where you would do that. You wouldn't put on your makeup in the dark. You might, but it's probably not going to do your best work in that case. So thinking of that as an illustration, and then just as that is done in the mirror with shining the light on it, when you shine the light of Christ on your life of faith and reflect on it, as it were, what do you see? And what needs some cosmetic adjustment so that you can look more like Christ? And similarly, you need bright lights for performing surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, again, how can you use the light of Christ? And both of those are calling forth the Corinthians passage from today. How can you use the light of Christ to explore what's in your heart, your mind, your soul, your innards, to repair or remove what is broken?
Hmm.
Or address it anyway. It's the spirit that would ultimately do that, I suppose. But that
would
be
to
the
identify
scalpel.
It.
The spirit would be the scalpel. Then for special effect, when have you suddenly seen Jesus in a new light or place? On a retreat, listening to music, reading a devotional, in conversation with a friend or a counselor or a pastor? What were the circumstances? And was it intentional? Were you trying to find a new understanding, or did it just sneak up on you?
Mm.
And a special effect because you would offer these for your folks to reflect on. And then similarly, when have you suddenly seen someone else in a new light because of Jesus? And when have you seen yourself in a new light because of Jesus? Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea you liked even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS. Or point your podcasting software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. Help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes Store, and of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.